Big call now, third down and 14.
Here's Amari Cooper. And he's one-on-one, no help.
Prescott gonna carry. And reach, flip, sets up first and goal at the one.
David, football, football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Dak Prescott, not as bad at football as some would have you to believe. Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, presented as always by Head & Shoulders. Yes, it's time to turn the page to some degree away from the wild card and move on to the divisional round. Let's get right for the Rams, for the Chargers, for the Chiefs, for the Colts, and so on right now with our main man, Maurice Jones-Drew. Let's kibitz now with the Jacksonville Jaguar legend, the Oakland Raiders one-year experiment.
No, coach.
Coach? That's
player,
how you...
I was player coach.
Player coach. Yeah, really?
Still got those, like Josh McCown.
I like that,
just
Maurice.
A little bit cheaper.
Good for you. I like how you salvaged that one.
Yeah.
Also, UCLA legend, and now the voice or one half of the great...
The number two seed
with
in the
Jamie
NFC.
Long. It's Maurice Jones-Drew, everybody.
You got to say the number two seed in the NFC, the 13-3.
That's damning with faint praise, ain't it? If it was a number one seed, then it would be something.
Still, you got to buy.
All right, listen, to the matter at hand, we'll worry about the title game in a week. I do think, I'll open it by saying, I do think that both of the higher seeds will survive. I do think we get a rematch of the Rams at Saints. Let's talk about, why don't you diagnose us for us there, Maurice Jones-Drew. Why do you think the Rams will win this game, or do you?
Yeah, no, I definitely believe the Rams are going to win the game, but it's more about the Cowboys. And I think their home and road numbers tell a lot. Now, I don't know, and a lot of people say, oh, it's the playoffs, it doesn't matter. No, it does matter, because you put this whole body of work together, and we've seen the Cowboys at home play lights out. You beat the Saints in Dallas. But then you go to Indianapolis and you lose. Your quarterback doesn't play well. You're not running the ball well. There's just something about the Dallas Cowboys on the road. Now, I don't know if that's going to change when they come to Los Angeles. And
well, I was just going to say about that. It is kind of funny. People make jokes and whatever, but it is legitimately, I don't know, you would know better than I about the influence of a crowd, but I would think in the Coliseum, it's going to be pretty close to 50-50.
No, there's going to be more Cowboys fans than there'll be
Rams. Do you really?
Fans.
I mean, literally, there might be more
the
Cowboys
last time,
fans.
The last time the I think Jerry Jones spoke on this too earlier this week, was he said that, you know, this is where Dak got his first start, was in the Coliseum. Hmm. It was a preseason week one. He came down and he played well. Now, this is a different team than there.
Value to that? Does Dak walk out there and say, I'm comfortable, I've played here before?
I really don't know. I think the teams were different. You know, the Rams didn't play Aaron Donald at that time. There was a lot of other things that they had going on. But I'll say this. The Cowboys are going to bring their running game, and they're going to bring their defense. Now, the question is Dak Prescott, or is he going to be able to make the same plays that he made with his legs and his arm that he did in Seattle, against Seattle? So we'll see how that goes.
Isn't that the answer, by the way, that Dak, for all the stuff, I don't know why he gets more heat. Maybe he's the Dallas Cowboys QB.
That's the issue.
I don't know, but I think that's a weird thing. I think every QB in the NFL is the gargantuan
sport of
our nation. So
which team owner is more is vocal?
I don't know. I think Blake Bortles would tell you, I feel plenty of heat playing in Duval County.
No, not nearly as much as Dak Prescott. Because you got to remember, your owner is doing interviews after games. He has his own radio hit that he does every week. Like, he is as much a part of this team as possible. And that's hard because, you know, what he says goes, right? He's the GM. He does all this stuff. So it's always tough. I think with Dak, though, he's done a great job of handling that. I just don't know, like, it's like his pass rating is 86 point something on the road when it's 106 at home.
You know what
that's
love?
Huge.
I put this probably on Jason Garrett more than I do anyone else. It does seem when they have designed runs or some sort of run play option for Dak, when you have Zeke behind you and you're putting it in his belly,
right,
and some percentage of the time you decide to keep it and go at the edge, that's going, with that offensive line, that's going to be hard to stop for any defense. Isn't that the formula?
I think that was the formula last week, go in the red zone, where they felt like, okay, we're going to have to throw in this tight windows, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to sit back and we're going to, you know, let Dak use his legs. So I think it was nice. That's always tough in the red zone to be able to count for a quarterback. Now, they had some design quarterback runs where he ran well. Then they had some passes that he executed well. I just, you know, for me, the biggest concern for the Rams is that how you have to stop Zeke. You can't worry about Amari Cooper. You have to stop Zeke.
I completely agree with that.
And force Dak to beat you with his arm.
And by the way, shouldn't we have enough confidence in Wade Phillips, son of bum, at this point, that while, of course, Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh and the rest maybe were unleashed and got competitive over the course of the regular season about sack totals and everything else, that come the divisional round, that Wade will be able to discipline the guys sufficiently to say, our only purpose today is to take Zeke away, and they will be able to rise to that?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we always have these talks off air about, you know, being selfish, right? There's a lot of selfishness in this league, obviously, for, you know, your future, thinking about like what you're going to be as a player and years after that. Once you get into the playoffs, though, all that stuff is out the window, because those stats that you have normally don't go with you, right, that you make in the playoffs. The playoffs is about winning. So that's why football always changes after Thanksgiving, because September, October, early November is all about how many stats you can get up.
You're trying to get accolades. Business tends to give way to all that.
Yes.
All the rhetoric you hear perennially about one purpose, one locker room, play for each other.
All that comes in around December.
Right.
And that's when you've really positioned yourself to see where you can go. And that's where you see teams go on runs like the Colts or like the Houston Texans, where these teams are going on runs and getting there. And so I think that this game, when you talk about Ndamukong Suh and Michael Brockers and all, they have to be able to take on double teams, and you have to be able to let your linebackers fill the gaps, because they don't have linebackers that are downhill guys. They have safety, quicker type guys. So you got to be able to do that. And I really believe the last game in Week 17, you saw that. You saw that defense. Now, they gave them some big plays in the running game, but for the most part, they did some really good things, taking on double teams, some unselfish things that I think will carry on to the playoffs.
It's a funny irony that the switch gets flipped right around the time that most people settle into the assumptions about whoever the team
right.
is or whoever the player is, because while everybody else decided the Rams have a terrible defense, right around Thanksgiving, they turned it on. Right?
I mean,
I think it's a significantly improved unit over the last handful of games.
Well, Tlaib came back, and that made a big difference for him. I remember this. I remember being in practice, and I think it was like year three or four for me, and it was like right before Thanksgiving. And I remember I talked to Coach Del Rio. I was like, I want to talk to the team after practice. And I was like, listen, guys, like, I understand, you know, we're tired. It's been a long season at this point, but we're in a great position right now. And we have an opportunity to do something special here. At that point, I want to say we had just won like three or four games in a row. We won 4-5 is what we had done. Because we went to Dallas and won. We had won a couple other games. We lost to the Giants that year in New York. But I told him, I was like, this is when we have to pick it up. And we have to make it happen. Now, unfortunately, my knee gave out week 14 or 15. You know, at the end of the day, this is the most important time, because once you get into this thing, like, we always talk about winning. Like, and I always tell you, like, players want to get paid more than winning. But that's until you get to the playoffs.
The caveat is,
everyone gets paid the same. There is
you have one big 60-minute stretch. I mean, Nick Foles is the most recent example.
And the other issue is this, like, no matter what happens in the playoffs, Tom Brady's going to make the same amount as the 53rd guy and the 61st guy. Like, you're going to get paid the exact same. The pay doesn't change. And that's when it becomes about winning. Now, if Tom Brady was still making, you know, X amount, or let's say Matt Ryan is still making X amount more than the 53rd guy, then it's like, I don't know. But we're all making the same. There is no issue. Like, there is no, oh, how much you make this week, dog? Or like, there's none of that. And so I think that's what makes this game so important, because you only have one game to play, right? You have to be, it's not the MLB, it's not the NBA, it's not the NHL. You only can get one game in. There is no series in this, so you have to be at your best when your best is needed, and that's important. I think for the Rams, it is important that they get ready to go.
But they have, but the, and the other thing I talk about all the time at this time of the year is the curse of Sposta, and that's what the Rams carry with them into this game.
Not really.
The Cowboys have a devil may care attitude. They're not supposed to be in the divisional
round. Well, no, they're supposed to.
The Rams are supposed to at minimum get to the title game, if not the Super Bowl.
No. Because you have to remember, that's when you're the one seed, right? You're the two seed.
Well, I mean, I don't think there are very many measures out there that would say that it wouldn't be a devastating disappointment if the Rams lost in Los Angeles to any visitor.
Well, I think any team that loses at home, I think if you look at their Baltimore Ravens, you just went to L.A. and beat the Chargers, and they came out here and they demolished you, right?
By the way, about that, do you think that this is sustainable? That's the thing we keep hearing about. Lamar Jackson. I've heard whispers that even within the Ravens organization, and I love Lamar Jackson, what he did and how he basically turned that season around for them, but I do think, at minimum, they're going to have to always be going after option QBs if they want to perpetuate this offensive philosophy. They're going to have to just always be drafting those kind of guys. And by the way, why if you're a great wide receiver, if you're in the age of Antonio Brown, I don't get the ball enough even though I had 100 catches and 15 touches, what high-end wide receiver is going to want to go and play in that offense?
Draft them. You draft
and then they're going to move on, though. No one's ever going to re-sign
you don't know
play
that.
In that system.
You don't know that. I mean, I think, again, Lamar, like, it's so funny. Everyone thinks, like, throwing the ball, like that. Down December is when you figure out what your team really is. A team that throws the ball a lot, they normally don't win in those situations. I think Lamar Jackson, he'll get better throwing the ball, just like some of these other quarterbacks will get better.
That's the thing.
But
let's look at the
Browns, because I know everyone talks about Baker Mayfield and how great of a season he had. They ran the ball majority of the time. It wasn't like he was just throwing the ball over the yard, and they ran the ball. And then this, I always tell people this: when the game is on the line and you have the ball, your team tells you exactly who they believe is the best. Now, we've talked about this with Pittsburgh when they went to San Diego and they played the Chargers when they were in San Diego. The game was on the line and they put Le'Veon Bell at quarterback, they wildcat. That tells you exactly what they think about everybody. No, when the Browns were playing in Denver and the game was on the line, they didn't go out spread and they didn't throw the ball to Baker Mayfield. Well, who did they turn? They handed the ball to who?
Chubb.
Nick Chubb.
By the way, just to go back to live life in the rearview mirror for another minute, we talked to David Carr earlier in the week about this. That's why John Harbaugh obviously couldn't go to Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Even if he does want Joe Flacco, he can't make that statement to Lamar Jackson.
No.
Yeah, what do I believe? I believe in Joe at the end of the day. I mean, this is a fun kid, but I got
to
go with Joe.
I always tell people, like, to hear those guys talk about that on the broadcast lets me know that they don't know Joe Flacco. Because if Joe Flacco was still the quarterback, the Ravens would be at home.
That's of course right. Let's talk about the truth. Let's talk about the halves, the teams that still have a date on the calendar here. The Chargers, who vanquished those Ravens. I'm terrified of them. What chance?
Terrified of them.
Me too. Listen, Maurice, I told you in August, Chargers, Rams, that's Super Bowl 53. But the football gods, I don't know what deal Tom Brady made long ago, but now it's going to snow on the poor SoCal guys? You think Phil Rivers wants to deal with snow?
You know what's funny?
The last time
Philip Rivers went to Foxborough, we lost to Tom in the divisional round, and then they played the Chargers there. And the Chargers had
McGinnis tells the best story about how you, or no, I'm sorry, yeah, about how you guys could have won that game.
Oh, we should have won that game.
Yeah,
we should have won it, but we had some other issues that happened, and it's okay. But Philip Rivers had an ACL, right? LaDainian Thomas had a knee injury or a growing issue at the time. Like, they were banged up going into this thing, similar to what they're doing now. They're a little banged up, but the kicker is they got Hunter Henry back.
Mm-hmm.
How do you cover that now? Because now you have a tight end who can actually, like, Gates can't run. Gates is going to hit you with option routes, and he's going to win. That's fine.
That's the great equalizer.
Yeah.
That's what you have. You're Antonio Gates. Finally, everybody's my speed.
Right. But think about this. Hunter Henry now can run, and he's been off a while. And you have Keenan Allen. They have weapons to score on offense where that defense has struggled a ton. Knowing Anthony Lynn, this is what other people don't realize. Anthony Lynn was the head coach for who before he got the Chargers job?
Who?
The Buffalo Bills.
That's right.
And who do they play? Who do they play twice a year?
Interesting. And the other thing is, the Patriots, take the brand, take the logo away and just look at...
Not playing well.
Look at the New England Patriots and what they are. They are a team who everybody can run on.
Yeah.
And if... talk about the football gods. If Melvin Gordon ain't right, then that's
still
a
got,
shame.
You still got two other dudes who can run.
I know, but come on.
Justin Jackson tore y'all up.
Okay, yeah. All right, we don't need to talk
about that. I'm just saying. So you don't say, don't do that because Melvin Gordon was there.
I like Jackson quite a bit, but Melvin Gordon is.
No, Melvin Gordon, no question.
And a banger up in the cold. That would be. Listen, if he's
and you
okay,
have a veteran quarterback that's not going to get shook.
They should win. That's it.
Yeah.
And the for a decade now, how do you beat the Cowboys? You apply pressure to Brady, get in his face.
The Patriots.
The Patriots.
Yeah.
That's how they're built. If you watch the game, you saw Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa.
And they were moving them around. It wasn't just one guy. They put out different sets. They're going to come in with a great game plan. And I think, you know, the one thing is Phillip Rivers, if he does what he did against Baltimore, takes what they give him consistently, you'll score points and you'll kick field goals and you'll win the game. But if you turn the ball over and you give them any energy in Foxborough, it's going to be a problem.
Are you picking the Chargers or the Patriots?
I'm picking the Chargers.
I mean, because Sony Michel, that's going to be their formula, is going to be to see how far 26 can take them.
That's the only way you can do it.
Right? I mean, Brady is not in a position against Derwin.
The problem is they don't have Josh Gordon. When they lost Josh Gordon, that hurt them because now you don't have guys that can go down the field and stretch the field. Everyone's going to be sitting back. And they're going to have to do some things. I mean, it kind of reminds me of what I think the Colts are going to do to the Chiefs. The Colts are a team that went on 2 90-yard drives in a playoff game. And you may not call it a playoff game, but it was a winning end against the Tennessee Titans. That's a playoff game to me.
Yeah, that's right. No, it was.
2 90-yard drives because they ran the ball.
What they must do, the Chiefs, they must. Andy Reid has had
2 weeks. Huge lead.
Andy Reid is the guy they always say, oh, don't give him an extra week to prepare for you and all that kind of stuff. This is the Andy Reid legacy game. People love to talk about that. This really is. They're a number one seed. They've been the story of the 2018 season along with the Rams. But Patrick Mahomes, I think, has risen above all other storylines out there this season. Now they're in Arrowhead, but walking into the joint, I don't even mean like if things get sideways in the first quarter. I mean as they start ripping tickets, walking into the stadium, everyone in there dressed in red is going to be nervous.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on, Andy Reid and the Chiefs. I've been a season ticket holder for two. Please win one game. They're going to have so much pressure on them. If Patrick Mahomes can come out, if Andy Reid with Mahomes, they come out and jump you like they have most teams this year. If they get up 10-0, it'll be game over.
Yeah, I think so. But if you keep it close.
If not, though, I think the Colts are going to win that game.
And the Colts have, they just have that, it's something about them that they're confident that they can do it. The one thing, though, and we haven't got a chance to talk about it, I want to switch it over to the Saints.
I think you're wrong about. We've talked about this already.
It's not me being right or wrong. It's what's in the universe. This is bigger than me and you. It's bigger than everything we've been around. I believe, and I don't know why, but I believe that this team plays so much better with Nick Foles that because they don't have any pressure. There's no pressure on them. That's what it was last year. What I didn't see. We have a backup quarterback. Like, no, it is what it is. We're not supposed to be here. And that's the same mindset they have right now. Like, look, if we lose, we play with Nick Foles. They have a built-in excuse.
Why can't you fully embrace the curse of Sposta? You want to be on the other side of that.
It's crazy.
They're not supposed to win anything this week, so they have no pressure on them. That's what you want to be.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, the Saints, though, this is the thing. The Saints, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes things the Saints have done, right? And credit, because when you win, you can do whatever you want. But I remember that game, the Eagles put a ski mask on every time they get a turnover. Well, after that game, after they blew them out, they all had ski masks in the Saints locker rooms. I mean, they're building, they have this bravado about them, like, when we beat you, we're just going to talk crazy to you and all these different things. We're going to run the score up on you. And after the Chicago game, it had nothing to do with Chicago. Nothing to do with Chicago. Literally, they were like, after the game, the first thing I heard was like, oh, yeah, we can't wait to get to New Orleans. We cannot wait to get there.
Kind of bravura. You know I do, Maurice. But I also, here on the planet Earth, practically, in the NFL, the trends indicate that if one team proves itself to be that much better than the other team, that is going to repeat itself. This wasn't Bama and Clemson, that was kind of close. Clemson wanted to teach him a lesson. This team didn't have Nick Foles on there.
Is something about him. And I tell people, I've been saying this last week. There's no statistical reason for me to say the Eagles are going to win this game against the Bears. No reason. But the Eagles are going to win because I believe. I'm not a fool. I always tell people this. Say it all the time. Fool me once. Shame on me.
Right.
You will never fool me again. There is no fool me twice. All right. If I don't believe the first time.
You have half the.
I just ain't going to get fooled again. So you fool me once, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon. And I jumped on it. I wasn't an Eagles fan. I stuck a fork in them when they had Carson Wentz at quarterback because he was pressing. He was doing some stuff. He had some back issues. He was hurt. But as soon as they put Nick Foles in, I was like, oh.
I feel like I'm obliged to go Chris Berman on this, Boomer Berman on this. Is like, look, you got Tom Brady. You got Peyton Manning. You got Ben Roethlisberger. Look, there are a lot of good 21st century quarterbacks. Drew Brees is putting together a very special season down there in New Orleans.
And like, then he has to face Nick Foles.
Like Roger Daltrey sang about oh so long ago, Drew Brees won't get fooled again back on the Blitz. That's something he would say, Maurice.
He should say that, but he don't know about Nick Foles. He don't know. Listen, I don't know what's going on. I told someone this the other day. I was like, either they've sacrificed a young intern. Mm-hmm. I know, I'm just joking, folks.
You don't think they...
No.
Maurice doesn't think they actually sacrificed a human intern.
Someone or something lost a soul, though. Because there's no reason for them to be back in the playoffs.
No, I agree with
they
that.
They were so far down the list in the very... What was it, like week 12? They were down. They were dead. It was like, they're 9, 10 out.
Round about that time, there was a team on the other side of the Keystone State that looked for all the world like they weren't just getting to the playoffs, but were in line for one of those byes, and now they're with you and me watching the games.
No question.
The team I'm talking about is the Steelers, in case I wasn't clear.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this, because you and I have argued, and you and me and Bucky Brooks have argued about this a lot. We had a big argument for a half an hour out on the side
about an hour and a half
yesterday. Back and forth this goes. My point to you about is because you assert that in the Mike Tomlin, Antonio Brown, I guess Le'Veon Bell is somehow related to it, all the dust-ups, melodramas, and so on. You say, and you're right to point this out, the recurring figure in these is Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, it's Roethlisberger.
Okay, but it doesn't excuse no showing.
No, it no, not at all.
His fault. So it's Antonio Brown's fault.
That one incident, yes. But I'm talking about everything over the last couple years.
All right, but we can't conflate. What's going on here? The guy didn't show up for the game.
Right, that's his fault. But when you know you have a guy, and I told you this before, when you have an instigator and you have a guy with thin skin, I've seen it done with parents. I've seen it done at school. When I was at school, I've seen it done in pro locker rooms. Those people shouldn't be around each other because the thin-skinned guy is always going to go. Now, we had this talk. I told you, when you're fed up and you've reached your point with someone, sometimes it's best not to be around them.
I don't like, though, the idea that you have to lower the bar, you have to change,
no, what a change.
The target. I don't like the notion most people have jobs and they go into them, and there's somebody at almost everybody's office, and people always say, can you imagine if you just decided not to go into work? I think people do that in every line of work. People pull that kind of stuff.
All the time.
You know, the old cliche. Husbands, the cagey husband, when he volunteers to do the dishes, he does a crummy job of doing the dishes,
right.
So he's never asked to do it again. I feel like this idea of like, well, you can't mess with Antonio Brown because well, that's a weird standard.
No,
he's getting paid a lot of money to show up to work.
That's the problem with everyone when we talk about.
Do whatever you want to do.
When we talk about Emmitt
Smith and Troy Aikman.
They had issues.
They had issues, but they showed up and played.
The one difference, though, between all that is that Bucky Brooks will stand by this, ever heard a player criticize another player in the media as much as Big Ben. But he will never criticize himself. Let's remember. Hold on.
It's inaccurate to say he isn't critical of himself. He has been, but okay. But not
saying,
as much
saying,
as,
oh, I should retire after I threw five picks against Jacksonville, or I don't have it. That's not being critical. But what I'm saying is that is, we saw the offensive line talk about Le'Veon Bell's contract.
But that's Mike Tomlin's fault.
They're grown men. Okay. That's their fault. That's rule number one. Never talk about a man's money. Rule number two is never talk about anyone in the media.
Okay, you handle everything within. But who's to blame for that? Bill Belichick would, if something was
Bill
afoot,
Belichick what?
If there was something afoot in the Patriots locker room, the instruction I'm sure would be, hey fellas, nobody talks about this to the media.
No, you're an adult. I don't have to continue to tell you what to do. You're over 22. All right, how old is Big Ben?
37.
Okay, you're old enough to understand that you don't continue to do that. You've been in this league long enough.
What does this have to do with Roethlisberger? You're talking about the offensive line.
I'm saying, like, he does it, so then everyone else thinks they can do it. And that's the issue.
Here's the point. The pushback that I give to you and Bucky and everyone else on this is, who is this mythical guy? Well, Roethlisberger's not the same kind of leader as blank. Who
I don't
is
know. I don't,
fill in that blank. Who
every
is this guy?
Every quarterback that has a problem.
Who's the made-up guy who's
every,
such a great
no,
leader
other,
and does everything
listen,
right as
every
a quarterback.
Other quarterback, you may have issues, Shaq. We may have issues, but I'm not going to go out there and be like on someone else's podcast or some other show and be like, you know what? That Dave Damashek just grinds my gears. Because that'll hurt your feelings. Right? Now, if I have a problem with you, I'm going to be like, hey, Dave, look, this is what I don't understand, and it's off of camera, and it's between me and you. We can settle it. But how many times are when Big Ben says, oh, well, this guy didn't have to... You've never ran and caught a ball. You don't know what this guy would have had to do to go catch a pass that you threw. You're throwing the ball. Like, you don't know how hard it is to do that thing. And granted, he may not know how hard it is for you to throw it, but you're not ever supposed to criticize another man's craft. Not because, again, like I try to tell people this. Football is an emotional game, and a lot of football players are emotionally unstable. That's why they give you so many minutes to calm down after games before people put cameras in your face, because you have to be able to gather your thoughts because you were just out there, you know, battling with your brothers amongst another team. And so there's only so much a man can handle in any situation, or a person can handle any situation where it's like, well, you know what? Enough's enough. So would you have rathered, and then this is the question I asked you and other people, you can put a poll out there, would you have rather Big Ben and Antonio Brown fight? Not throw the ball at each other, but physically fight each other, because from what I heard, that's where it was going. Or would you have rather Antonio Brown remove himself from that situation? Because I guarantee you, if he'd have came back the next day and something else was said, they would have fought. To the death, probably.
I mean, all I know is, from talking to the likes of you and any number of other guys, is that this stuff, this, you know, when things get sideways, the media can seize on it and say, see, that's the reason why Team Blank didn't succeed as much as it should, when the reality is that sort of junk goes on in every locker room every year.
The reason Pittsburgh didn't succeed this year has zero to do with Big Ben and Antonio Brown. We already know what that problem was. And we said it a long time ago. You have to, when players earn the right to get paid, you need to pay them. Otherwise, people get upset.
How do you respond to the people who say that Mike Tomlin, great players coach, and by the way, it is not 80%, it's not 97%, it is 100% of the people who I've talked to who are NFL insiders, who are ex-players, who are current players. Yeah. I haven't heard from one guy who's actually tied into what goes on in that building who has said, yeah, oh, it's Mike Tomlin. He should go. They should get rid of him. They should move on from him. Not one person has said that. But how?
Why would you want to fire him? You've only had three coaches in your whole tenure as an organization.
Because there were a lot of wonky things along the way.
What I've heard from is Chuck Knoll had some bad situations going on there.
I didn't call for Mike Tomlin to get canned.
I'm just saying. Look, this is the issue.
How do you answer?
To Le'Veon Bell not texting him.
How about Aditi Kinkabalu's charge? What kind of players coach, if he's such a great guy, such a players coach guy, his two biggest stars this side of Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, and they won't give him the simple respect of responding to him?
Because we're talking business. I can have a relationship with you. We can be friends. But at the end of the day, football is a business. When I held out, I didn't talk to my head coach. I didn't talk to my running back coach. I didn't talk to anybody in the organization.
Did Jack Del Rio call you?
Jack Del Rio wasn't the coach. It was Mike Mularkey.
Okay. Did Mike Mularkey attempt to reach you?
Yeah, and it didn't
and
get
you a call. You high-hatted him?
Didn't get a call back because it's none of your business. I need to get compensated for what I've done. And that's what Le'Veon Bell was saying. As much as, look, at the end of the day, we can be best friends. I have some really good friends, you know, and they know guys that aren't in the NFL. When it comes to money, because I figured, you know, in my logic of thinking, the amount of money I make goes to how I provide for my children. Those are two things we don't talk to me about that. That has nothing to do with you. And so for all this whole notion of a coach should be able to talk to his player, no, a coach is supposed to coach, right? We can have a relationship off the field, that's fine. But when it comes to money and me taking care of my family, your say-so doesn't mean anything to me.
I get it, but it's different than Tom Landry.
The premise is I'm your age, I'm close to it, I'm one of the guys.
You're not going to call me back?
No, because you're only reason you're talking to me is to try to get me to come back for less money. So there's no other reason for you to call me. So don't call me. You're not calling to check on me to see how I'm doing. You're calling to check on me to say, bruh, so I know they offered the deal, like what's going on? Don't do that. That has nothing to do with you.
What everybody keeps telling me. Why are you so intent on getting Ben Roethlisberger off the hook? I am not. I'm not.
Every time you say, you go, I understand that he's done these things, but.
I understand that he is married.
But.
He is the guy. He is the single thread along with the Rooneys and Kevin Colbert over the last decade and a half. He's been there longer than Mike Tomlin. That doesn't earn him the right to.
No, not to.
I disagree.
Not to tear your locker room up. You tell me this. You're in tight with everyone in the locker room, right? With all the beat writers and stuff. No. Is that locker room not split? Is it not one side with Ben and everyone else?
I don't know, but I know this much. I know Tom Brady went to ownership and said, I don't want this handsome guy behind me anymore. You should trade him away. Wasn't that divisive? Is it divisive when Aaron Rodgers, on national television, does this to his wide receivers? No, this!
Real quick.
What year was the wide receiver? Huh?
What year was the wide receiver? Was he a rookie?
I don't know.
Was he a rookie or was he a vet like Antonio Brown? See, you're right. So there comes a respect factor with years put in.
How about Peyton Manning after the divisional round game in 2005 saying, I'm trying to be a good teammate. My O-line just didn't have a very good day today.
He should have never did that.
Right, but the point is, you understand people get more heat for doing the same thing.
No, because Big Ben does it over and over. It was like a four-week span where he did that. He called someone out every week. You know, I just went with the play call. It wasn't my fault. I just did what they told me to do on the sidelines. Or, oh, you got to do that. Like, that stuff continually, it's like someone just poking at you over. And that's what we're seeing. And granted, I get it. You're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
I wouldn't mount this defense.
You're in it.
Like this for the quarterback of Tennessee. But I do think it's fair to point out that the standard seems to be moving around depending on who the quarterback is. Tom Brady can do no wrong. Aaron Rodgers.
No, hold on. Let's remember this. Let's talk about this.
Tom Brady's never badmouthed a teammate. Only his wife has. Why is that better?
No one said it.
Giselle calling out the wide receiver, that's better?
Listen, but you know what? Tom talked to Wes Welker one-on-one after that, and they figured it out. Has Antonio Brown and Big Ben talked one-on-one yet?
I don't know. I don't think AB's taking
And I don't,
calls
th- I don't
right
think
now,
Big
so
Ben
know.
Actually texted or called him. Because from what I heard, that's just for the camera. But that's just me. I'm not one to gossip.
What is the standard then? Tom Brady had a behind-closed-doors meeting to settle all hash, they could move forward together.
Let me say this. The difference between the Pittsburgh Steelers this year and all the stuff that's going on, because this has been going on for a minute. It didn't just happen today. This ain't the first time. This has been going on for years. You know what the difference is? They went 13-3 last year. Very simple. When you lose, it all hits the fan. But when you win, you sweep it under the rug. So when you lose, because what was this year about? Tell me what this year was about. Todd Haley's gone. You bring in Big Ben's best friend to be his all OC. He has his best year. Right. That's what I heard. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, they're friends. That's fine. And they were productive together, so fine.
But they didn't win. And that's the problem. That is the big issue. The reason Tom Brady is okay, is okay with Tom Brady is guess what? What do they do? Every year.
Every year, what do they do? I want to point to one more thing.
They win.
As we belabor this a little bit. I just want to say one thing about it, a specific thing. People have said, Roethlisberger, why is he going in front of the camera saying that AB is one of his better friends on the team? That's just a lie. Why would he do that? Because that's what everybody wants him to do. You're saying don't tell the truth.
No, you don't.
Don't tell the truth, Big Ben. That hurts people's feelings.
You don't have to lie and say, like, don't make it seem like the relationship you have is what you don't have. Just say, look. Because there's a lot of people that we work here with.
He's trying to play with this guy's ego. He's trying to massage the guy's fragile ego and say, I'm very close with AB and I like him very much and I hope
everything
works out.
There's people here that I don't necessarily get along with, but I'm not going to go out of my way to say, you are one of them. I get along with you, actually.
Oh, good.
But I don't go out of my way to say, I don't like this person. I don't like that person. No, I'm just, when I'm around them, I'm cordial and I move forward. I don't like, but that's how adults act. Like, I feel like this whole saga is like a bunch of kids, like, at school. Like, oh, I don't like you, so I'm going to go and tell someone that I don't like you. But when people come to ask me, like, no, we're really good friends. Like, no, listen, it is what it is. You don't have to like each other to play football. That's the beautiful thing about football. That's what makes it so different from every other sport is that we don't all get along. We don't all have the same political views. We don't all have the same religious views or backgrounds, and we're not from the same
And that exists on 32 teams. The reason that the idea that one of the high-end performers at the most important position in the sport says things into microphones periodically is so disruptive.
So what happened to Seattle this year when someone wrote that article and them dudes went on record talking crazy about Russell Wilson? It was disarray up in that place.
Mm-hmm.
They started off 0-2, right?
And Russell was telling people, I want to get out of Seattle.
A whole bunch of stuff going on because of that. But once they removed the riffraff, and they were able to get guys that Russell, you know, that didn't do the things that we read in that article about, all of a sudden they were able to go. That's the key. Like, you have to remove the riffraff. So who's the riffraff that you're going to remove in this situation?
Not the guy who's been there for 15 years at the trigger of way more success than failure.
He hasn't had a losing season. I can give you that much. But every time you won the Super Bowl, what was the defense ranked in the NFL?
Oh, come on with that.
I'm just asking.
What was Tom Brady? Did Tom Brady get carried to that first ring or two?
No question he did.
Hey, the difference.
But what about the ones after, though, where they didn't have the top defense?
I mean, things got away from them. They almost came back and beat those Jags.
And then, hold on. I think they would have beaten the Chargers.
I frankly think they would have beaten the Chargers in the wild card. I'm going to say this, too.
They wouldn't have beat the Chargers because the Chargers are in the wild card. They had to beat the Chargers would have went to. I don't know.
They would have gotten to Pittsburgh.
But hold on real quick. But I would say this.
The Steelers already outplayed them again.
They're not in there. But what I'm going to say is this, though. Remember when first Big Ben was going to retire, and then they drafted the quarterback Mason Rudolph. We never talk about that.
Oh, I talk about it all the time.
That is crazy to me, though. That's crazy to me to say something like that. Like, that's not what we need.
Are you kidding me?
That's not what we need.
Brett Favre didn't like Aaron Rodgers' presence.
And you're right.
Joe Montana didn't like Steve Young's presence. It got Joe Montana shipped to KC. Tom Brady didn't like Garoppolo there. Garoppolo now is on the other side of the country.
Of course they don't want their replacements there.
What are you talking about?
But to say it in the media is the worst thing you do. And that's what we're talking about.
Joe Montana said it in the media.
What'd he say? I didn't read that one. What'd he say?
They had to trade him away. Then they traded Jimmy Garoppolo away just a year ago.
That's what I'm talking about, the double standard. No, there is no double standard. It's one thing for Bill Belichick to say we traded Jimmy Garoppolo, and then we can speculate on the backside story.
Oh, stop.
It's another
thing for us
not to speculate.
You know what's
And to hear it from the mouth of the person that says, I don't think that we need this guy.
Isn't that what we want, no jive, Maurice? I thought what you liked was telling the truth.
I could care less. Listen,
I thought you liked
jive. I want to make sure we get this out there, because don't edit this out, please. I can really care less what goes on in the Pittsburgh Steelers locker room, to be honest with you. I think the league is better when Pittsburgh wins. I preferably think that having that team and what they've been able to do makes this league better. But the problem we're having is that these little shenanigans and these little things, these nuances that go on over and over and over again have kind of really taken over what this organization was about.
Okay.
Right, wrong, or indifferent.
Fine. And but who,
who are the three people that we continue to talk about?
Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. Those are the two who didn't show up to play.
I said three people. First of all, Le'Veon Bell didn't have a contract. Okay. So he didn't show up.
I'm just clarifying.
That's the other thing. Like, it's easy for
you.
You
know, I agree with that.
People blame Le'Veon, but he didn't have a contract. So why would he show up?
I'm just telling you that if we're pointing fingers.
Right. You can't point at Le'Veon.
I will point first at the guys who
you can't point at Le'Veon.
Didn't put their uniform on to go play the game.
You can't point at Le'Veon because he didn't have a contract. There was
that's what I'm trying to say. That it's Seven's fault that other guys
This is the thing though. How does Le'Veon come at this point? He didn't play all year, so Le'Veon is out of the question.
If he had been on the team, they would have been a vastly superior team. They should have paid him. Guess what?
So then we should go to the management.
I'm just saying they should have paid him. For the record,
because management should have paid him then, right? That's what we should say then. Blame management for all this then, right? Blame the front office people for all this then, because if Le'Veon was there, we wouldn't be going through this right now. So that's the first. Admit, and you know they say in like those anonymous classes that you have to admit you have a problem in order to get better. Management has to admit that we messed up with Le'Veon. That Le'Veon's more important than what we thought.
Two of their very best moves were unorthodox by the Steeler way. Historically, two of the best moves they've made in the last couple of years were the unorthodox moves of right before the regular season started, going and getting Joe Hayden, going and getting Vance McDonald. That's how they have to think. Outside the box for their approach and do things a little bit differently.
So if Le'Veon was as important as we thought he was, because we now see that he's important, probably more important than we thought he was. If getting Le'Veon done, that deal done, would have changed this. You think they would have go back and do it?
I think it goes back to, I suspect that there was a lack of confidence. But here's what I think the Steelers really intended to do with Le'Veon Bell. I think the fact of the matter is this. You want all that money, but we have been giving you 400 touches. We've given you 400 plus touches two straight years. We're going to do it again in 2018. You're going to be run down to the point that you're not going to have as much value for us going forward. Why do we want to invest in that? They were trying to have their cake and eat it too. I agree with that.
No, yeah.
But now the other side of that is, for 26's sake, is he going to find a happy home? Is he going to get paid?
This is not about 26.
I think the funny thing Steelers could do if they want to say, we're still doing it the way we've always done it, and we're not changing anything, the funniest thing they could do would be to franchise tag Le'Veon.
This is the funny thing. You see, this is what you always do. You try to switch it from what we're talking about.
I'm just saying that would be a funny thing.
What I was saying was that Le'Veon, if Le'Veon is this important to that locker room, right? If he's this important to that team, they should have paid him, because we pay a lot of guys like Josh McCown $10 million a year to be a staple in our locker room, to help our quarterback. They didn't see Le'Veon as that. And now we see the truth that he was more, just as good as he was a player, he was just as good in the locker room to help keep all that stuff, that craziness going, you know, away. And so at the end of the day, the
most important thing Le'Veon Bell ever did was not turn the ball over. James Conner is a wonderful story. He was a more than capable replacement
Bell
for the star.
Counted as but five
Le'Veon
wins.
Bell, but James Conner fumbled in two games that if you take those fumbles away, the Steelers have two more wins on the schedule and they are still playing.
And they may have more than that. You don't know. But what I'm saying is Le'Veon Bell, the last time he played, they were 13-3.
The case.
And this time you were 8-7-1. So that means counts as 13 wins. Or five wins. I'm sorry. So to me, I think you would pay for that. So the manager decided not to pay for it. He doesn't play. Connor gets hurt. Everything goes crazy. All these things happen. You like to blame the refs and all that.
But they were under the impression these, 26
no,
was
they
weren't. Going
they
to
were
show
never
up.
Under the impression, because 26 told them, if you go back last year, Le'Veon told them, I'm not playing on the second franchise tag. That was his exact words.
It's a little
they
wonky,
didn't, they
though,
didn't
because
believe
his teammates
him.
Thought that he was showing up until that, the week he
that's
didn't
show That's on them.
Up.
That's on them. If Le'Veon states in the media, I'm not playing on the second franchise tag, and you challenge that and he doesn't do it, it's not his fault. He told you what he wasn't going to do. You just thought that you were going to be like, no, like every other player, which people don't understand now. There's social media out there now. It's not like back in the day when it wasn't like people don't know what people are getting paid and they're not conversating. Though those are things, again, Pittsburgh, and this is the one thing that we have to get down. This is the bottom of. This is the whole nucleus of what we're arguing about. All that stuff with Antonio Brown. That's all out here. So on the surface. The problem is, is that Pittsburgh is stuck in their old ways of trying to negotiate and do business, and that doesn't work anymore. And these players, you're seeing a lot of guys retire early, you're seeing a lot of things, the players are making money and they're going and do second things. You have to have incentive for these people to come here. So if I have a player that's done some exceptional things, he needs to get compensated, i.e. the Los Angeles Rams. They saw what Todd Gurley did last year, and they could have went the Le'Veon Bell route and sit in the Pittsburgh City route and say, we're just going to franchise tag you and move on.
But what you're talking about is going up against the practical need to fit under the cap, $80 million for three guys.
But that's what you're looking at now. If you want triplets, you have to pay a high price for those guys. And it's hard. Look at the Atlanta Falcons. They can't
that's
like
not comparable. Don't compare.
What I'm saying
that's
is they're paying two people.
I take
they're
that
paying,
as a disrespect.
Don't take it as disrespect. But they're paying a lot of
Matt
people
Ryan
a lot of money, and
it's hard
to build other things around it. But if that's what you have and that's what helps you win, you need to find a way to do it. And if you can't do it, the little things that happen around that you've been able to sweep under the rug, you've been doing in the dark per se, come to the light. And that's the issue.
I love it, Maurice, because now you're getting back towards the no jive status.
I've always been no jive.
Well, I don't know.
I feel like
you're more anxious
is there a big Ben jersey around here?
Steelers supporter. Spaghetti over there is getting bored.
No,
Emma got bored 9 minutes
Real quick,
ago.
I want to tell you this too before we go, because it's a new thing. I don't agree with Jacksonville taking away Leonard Fournette's guaranteed money.
Ooh.
I think that is horrendous. And how do you expect me to play for you if you're going to take away my money?
Why did they take away his guaranteed money?
Because in the contract, this is the problem. This is why I held out in the very beginning. The contracts in the NFL are messed up. And as a rookie in their contract, if you get suspended a game, the team now has a clause that says they can take away your guaranteed money, no matter for what. So there's, you know, some people get, he got suspended for fighting, whatever. That's fine. But what he's been able to do for this franchise, you're going to punish him and take away his guaranteed money? Are you crazy? Like, that's baffling.
The thing I would argue about that anecdotally, just off the top of my head, is has Leonard Fournette done that much for the franchise?
He took him to the AFC Championship game.
He did?
Well, we can go back and look at what happened
in
Pittsburgh.
The defense did.
We can go look and see what happened in Pittsburgh. Right? And that year, he rushed for what? 1,000 yards, a bunch of touchdowns.
I think he's terrific. I'd love to have him on my team. I'm just saying that.
He was part of that offense that helped take them to score 42
well, you're
or 45.
About you 20
in
minutes
Pittsburgh,
ago were talking
you know
about
saying?
What? How old is this guy? Is he young or is he old? He's a young guy. Fournette. So he has.
What I'm
not
saying, but I'm not. But I'm not
right
talking about
there.
It. I'm just saying that I don't agree with the Jaguars taking away his guaranteed money. I don't believe in that. If you guarantee it, it needs to be guaranteed. But that's a clause. That's the same clause that had Roquan Smith holding out in Chicago because of that. And a lot of these rookies should understand that and understand your contracts because things like this happen. And that's a shame. And then he gets punished, and then they get mad at him, and they want to talk trash to him in the media and say, well, we did it because of X, Y, and Z. Well, then, bro, like, you know what?
You're a smart businessman from the player's side. But
both sides. I understand both sides.
But you do skew towards the side of the
player.
Well, I skew towards the side of the player, one, because I was a player,
and then two, because I know how much money these teams make.
That's why. But you know what's
because
fun
of
about
the players,
it? You know what's fun about it to me is I'm in my brain, I'm starting to turn towards, so what can they do if they trade Antonio Brown? How about this? Antonio Brown for Leonard Fournette and a second-round pick. You want to make that deal right now? I've already begun negotiations with David Carr.
No, so you're giving me a second round pick?
No, are you crazy?
So I'm gonna give you a running back that's making rookie salary
Well, I mean,
if you want to get rid of Antonio Brown, you got to give me something to take.
All right, you want to keep rolling?
Because I got to give him
Dante Moncrief in the NFL game.
And you'll keep running with
too.
It. Who's your running back? Ain't 26.
Well, we'll resolve that in the draft. And let me tell.
Will you?
Well, no, we'll have Leonard Fournette if we make this deal.
Well,
and
I'm not giving
you
a second round pick though. You got to give me something.
Well, you should.
How about this?
I
got you.
Before you speak, I've already begun negotiations.
Give me Antonio Brown and David DeCastro.
That's not going to happen. I've already begun negotiations.
Or give me Pouncey then. Pouncey's old. He's out. Yeah. He's dead. Come on.
A Raiders representative named with the last name Carr. I've begun discussions. Two firsts or maybe
I don't think,
high
I don't,
first.
I don't think
Antonio
Gruden's
Brown.
Ready. I don't think Gruden's ready for that.
Well,
he ain't ready for that. This is what I can do for you. I'll make it real simple. Okay. Are you ready?
He'd be good on the Rams.
I'm going to give
what McVay could do with him.
No. I'm only right now negotiating on the Jaguars side.
You're on the Jaguars.
If you want to go to the Rams, you're really going to have to give me a lot. But the Jaguars will take Antonio Brown, okay? Mm-hmm. Antonio Brown, and we'll take Mike Tomlin for Leonard Fournette.
Wow. Okay, I'll talk about it. I'm open to it, and we'll take Mike Munchak.
No, no, he's gone because he's going to be gone. He's leaving. He's going to the Broncos.
We're going to offer him the head gig as soon as we make that deal. And the other thing that if Sean McVay and company and Les Snead,
you want to talk to them?
Well,
we could do it
if they're open to it. What would you think about? Don't just rashly say no here. What if we say we're going to give you?
No.
We're going to franchise tag Le'Veon Bell.
No, we have Todd Gurley. It makes zero sense.
Yeah, that doesn't really work. Okay, we'll continue to hash it out here.
Yeah, that's fine.
Stay open-minded, though, Maurice.
We'll work on the next episode. We'll work on that.
All right, let's go get a drink and bemoan the Jags and Steelers.
So, hey, winning cures all.
But they didn't win.
Neither did you guys. So that's why we're
That's why we're having this talk, Shaq.
Oh, my goodness. We just talked for 2 hours.
All right, good stuff with Maurice there. I apologize to those of you who don't enjoy the deep dive on the Pittsburgh Steelers in January when there's so much else to talk about, but it is a fascinating story going on, whichever side of it you're on, and Maurice Jones-Drew happens to be deeply knowledgeable about what's going on there for some reasons that are easy to figure out, so I figured it was worth it to do it. Also, as a side note, I may have mentioned before, I'm a Steelers fan, so I find it extra compelling. Anywho, we'll have the Red Challenge flag picks for you with Matt Money Smith coming up a little later on in the week for you to get you all set for the divisional round before Matt Money Smith and our pal Daniel Jeremiah. Ship off to Foxborough for the big game there, Old Man Rivers versus Pretty Boy Tom Brady. We'll have who's going to win that game and all the other divisional round games for you on the next DDFP. Until then, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.